All right, guys, we're here for our first episode of Just Some Ruckus, where we discuss anime, games, and a few rap albums every now and then. I'm live with my co-host, Zombie Miles.
What's he
On today's recording, we have a lot on the schedule. First, we're going to be talking about Jump Force, God of War, and who we personally think won E3. Then we're going to switch gears and switch over to the anime side of things and speak on My Hero Academia, Assassination's Classroom, because I just finished it not too long ago, and the future of the Dragon Ball series. All right, let's get it in.
All right.
So starting with, you know, Jump Force, like me and you discussed this, you know, just a little bit before. I mean, there's no doubt that we both think Jump Force looks amazing. Like, when you see that game, you want to sit down and play that game for a long time. But given the recent past of J-Stars and other crossover games, how do you think this game is actually going to play out?
All right, based on what I've seen with the gameplay, which actually looks pretty solid, and how I look at the visuals, the main things I'm worried about are gameplay. Like I said, it does look solid, but even just seeing gameplay isn't really a good indication of how the gameplay actually feels. And story, because I don't want a story that's going to have me like, what's going on? What is this? I want something that's going to actually interest me or at least hold me over. Because that gameplay is trash and that story's trash, I'm going to constantly tell everybody that game's some garbage.
Exactly. I mean, we saw what happened with J-Stars. The story of J-Stars was stupid. Just, like, I don't want to hear no arguments about it, anything, no debate, don't at me on Twitter, anything. The story of J-Stars was terrible. Like, I remember I sat there and played halfway through the game, and I just looked up, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, I wasn't interested in the story. I mean, yeah, it had a whole bunch of anime characters, and I loved that about it. Could it have added some more? Yeah. But, like, the gameplay was real funny. Like, it was that weird third-person over-the-shoulder lock-on thing. You know, you could break buildings and all that. You know, but it just felt weird to play.
And that's what I'm honestly worried about, because first off, I already know I'm going to hear a bunch of complaints from people saying, oh, these characters shouldn't be this equal in power, but like, it's a video game. It's a crossover game.
Exactly.
If you see anything with a crossover, characters are going to be on equal field of power, really, unless they go out their way and make sure the characters are as strong as they're supposed to be. Exactly. Like, example, we get Saitama in here. Someone takes two punches from him, there's going to be complaints saying, oh, this game not true to the story. But like I said, crossover.
Yeah. I mean, but you already know, we're going to get a whole bunch of complaints about that. We're going to get people picking Goku to fight Naruto, and they're going to, when they, you know, hit Naruto a few times, they're going to be like, why is Naruto still standing? This is impossible. Like, it's a crossover. Like, relax. You know, it's not that deep.
Exactly. Just sit back, enjoy the game if it's enjoyable. If it's some garbage, tell everybody it's some garbage. But exactly. Like I said, I'm mostly concerned about the gameplay and the story, because I feel like the thing with crossovers is, since there's so many different characters from completely different types of animes, even if they're similar animes, they're all from different ones. So that's going to be the issue with the story. That's why I'm holding this really to high standards, because I want this to be good.
Same. That's exactly how I feel. Now, let's get into the game that has, you know, that's had everybody talking for a while. Let's talk about how good of a game God of War is, in my opinion. I'm playing God of War on the hardest difficulty there is, and I'm taking it extremely slow because of my schedule that I have going on, and because the game's just hard. But from everything that I played before, the game is amazing. I love everything about it. I do wish the fighting was just a little bit smoother, but that's kind of my Dark Souls Bloodborne of me talking a little bit. I'm used to a little bit smoother fighting, but I'm still okay with this.
Bro, fuck Bloodborne. But we're not even talking about that right now. We're talking about God of War, which is an outstanding game. The combat, honestly, it will get smoother while playing through it. Give it some time, because, of course, you upgrade stuff.
Right.
You upgrade your weapons, you upgrade your shield, you upgrade the trays. It all comes even more smooth. You just got to give it some time. I wish I would have played it a little bit slower, because I wish I enjoyed more adventuring while playing through it, the story. I'm going to go back to it. Like I told you earlier, I'm going to go back through it get some actual experience with it. Beat the story. Story's great. Gameplay, great. Visuals, great. I love that game.
I do. I mean, I have no complaints about the game. Everything about it is smooth. It looks clean. I have no complaints about it, like, at all. I've been hearing a lot of people, you know, complain about Atreus as a character, as a, you know what I'm saying? But I don't understand about the hate towards him, because for one, I love him as a character. Even though I'm still pretty early in the game, Atreus is literally going, like, this is him and his dad trying to bond.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, their father-son moment. You know, I don't see how people are hating on him, because I guess they're forgetting that he's still just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has to go through these things before, you know, he matured. People are saying he's annoying. He doesn't have no character growth, which is, when somebody said that to me on Twitter, and I just couldn't believe that. Like, I'm not even at the part where he's, like, you know, a full-blown badass, you know, killing people by himself. But I see the character growth from the very first time you meet him until the part that I'm at. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that. And I'm early on in the game. So I don't understand where that hate's coming from.
Honestly, that's the kind of slander that makes me really question, like, yo, did you actually even play it?
Exactly.
Because Atreus is such a focal point in the story that to say he had no growth is pretty much like, oh yeah, I just played the game, but it skipped all the cutscenes and ignored all dialogue. There's so much growth in Atreus.
It really
even is. From the small things like you and Kratos and Atreus just in the boats, just the little, it's little things, really. It's just, you have to just sit back, approach it with open arms, and just realize, like, yo, this is really good. Like, I rock with it. Atreus has excellent growth.
Exactly. Like, the growth with him is just amazing. Kratos, like, you know, becoming more open to his son with what's going on and everything, is just amazing. I can't sit here and give this game any more praise. Like I said, the only problem I had with this, I wish the fighting was just a little bit more fluid. And I do wish we had more bosses, because, you know, that's what God of War is known for. Like, those big, giant, unique bosses or whatever. That's what I kind of miss. But the path that they're going, I think this game was just kind of a test to see how they're going to test things out. I'm pretty sure, you know, the next one that is coming out is going to have, like, those over-the-top, huge bosses that we're used to in the God of War series.
Honestly, I feel like if they do make another God of War, I feel like Atreus should easily have a role in it based on how he is in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I want some more bosses? Yeah. Over the top? Of course. Honestly, I can't even really find that many flaws in God of War, in my opinion. Like, I just love that game that much. So if they can find a way to make it even better and continue the story, I'm automatically saying Game of the Year.
Oh, that's a hot take if I've ever heard one. But, you know, I can't sit here and argue with it. I cannot sit here. Like, I'm trying to think about it. I can't sit and argue with it. All right, let's go ahead and speak on, you know, E3 just concluded last week. You know, we got a bunch of reveals for a lot of games, you know. Miles, you know, me and you, we're both on Twitter all the time. And we both see a lot of, you know, people who are Microsoft fans, Sony fans, PC fans, all of that. You know, I've been getting, like, you know, weird vibes from everybody, you know, speaking of. Who do you personally think won E3?
Honestly, it's hard to say, because I find issues with almost every single press conference in E3. Like, overall, I feel like this E3 was kind of underwhelming. Like, Microsoft, their E3 presentation was great, but the hugest flaw for me, like, it's a major flaw, is majority of the games they showed are not exclusive games.
Exactly.
They're games that if I'm getting, I'm not buying the Xbox One. I'm getting them for my PlayStation. Like, it's cool that they showed a bunch of games. First off, their Kingdom Hearts presentation was easily the worst of them all.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Especially when I found out it was revealed that Microsoft did that Kingdom Hearts presentation with some missing audio in it. Which I find kind of crazy, because, like, why not make sure everything is fluid and going up there perfectly? I am glad about the fact that they're trying to get more exclusive games. They're introducing more developers for themselves, which is something they extremely needed, because their exclusive games have either been lacking or extremely lackluster. I'm not going to lie, I did not see the PC E3 presentation, because honestly, I think it was asleep. I forgot.
Wow.
Nintendo's presentation, I ended up going back and seeing it. It was mostly Smash Brothers, but you can't really hold that against them due to the fact that how many people were actually requesting Smash Brothers in the presentation. Like, you're going to go for what is easily the biggest factor. So many people love Smash, they're going to go to it. And they even said themselves that they don't want to constantly show a game that's not coming out or just like really soon. They want to just, they showed Yoshi last year, they're chilling. They don't want to push it on anybody else without actually saying like, oh yeah, the game coming out like next month pretty much. PlayStation presentation. Why do you have a banjo? I understand it's important to the story, but banjos? Nobody likes the banjos. Ghost of Tsushima looks amazing.
It does.
Kingdom Hearts, amazing. All the games they show pretty much look amazing, but nothing was really, like, nothing was new to me.
Yeah.
Like, I loved the games, but it's all stuff that I expected to see. Nothing was different. Nothing wowed me. It's not in the sense that we're like, for Nintendo, nothing wowed me because of the fact that I had the leaks for it. I knew it all was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Exactly. And but Sony was like, all right, we're expecting this. And they even said, don't expect too much. That's already like a hurt right there. But I can tell you who lost E3, and that was EA.
Oh, bro, I turned theirs off halfway through it. I couldn't watch it.
Bro, honestly, EA's presentation was so bad that I can't even remember the games I wanted out of there.
I actually sat here and was thinking about this earlier today, and I like before, you know, we started recording. I was like, I really can't sit here and think of any of the games from EA's presentation. And after I stopped watching it for about 5 minutes, and I came back to the stream, but I still can't remember anything like at all.
Like nothing was really appealing. I mean, Square Enix did something kind of disappointing, also with the fact that their E3 didn't really show much of anything that I was really hoping for.
Right.
They already confirmed they were working on a bunch of games for the Switch. I was expecting to see that. I was expecting to see them mention like pretty much all the things they already confirmed they were working on. And they showed none of it. Which is like, you had all this stuff you could have easily shown. And instead you give us a 30-minute pre-recording. That's pretty upsetting to me. But it's still not as bad as EA.
In my opinion, like, and my just, you know, what I saw, you know, maybe it's the PS4 fanboy coming out of me. I think Sony had the best E3 just because of the games they gave us. Even though, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, we all kind of knew what games they were going to drop. Like, there wasn't too many games that they showed that we didn't know. So that is a little disappointing. But the games they did show, and even though we did know them, they still look a lot more promising than what we saw in Microsoft and other things like that. Like, Microsoft, I'm sorry, you know, the games that you guys show, they don't look good. Like, I have the list right now, like Halo Infinite, maybe. I don't know if we really want a Halo game, another Halo game right now, but then again, I haven't played Halo since like Halo 3, so I'm not going to, you know, speak on that. Crackdown 3 has been delayed so many times and pushed back. Like, that's not a console seller for me now. It's way too late. We already know the Sea of Thieves DLC content was, we know Sea of Thieves by itself is terrible. Like, there's no debate about that.
I've heard a bunch of mixed reviews for Sea of Thieves. It's been either mediocre, decent, or trash. I have not heard good yet, though.
No, oh, me either. Microsoft always has a Forza Horizon game, and the Forza Horizon games always look spectacular. But they mm-hmm. feel weird to me. Like, it really feels like a clunkier Need for Speed to me. So I'm not. It looks amazing, but I'm not buying it. I wouldn't go buy Xbox because of that game. Session, nobody wanted this. I don't know what Microsoft was thinking. Nobody wanted this.
We all wanted Skate 4.
Everybody. I remember I was in the stream looking at it, and we're like, oh, shit, hold up. This might be Skate 4. Session. Nobody wants this. No, like, nobody wanted this at all. You know, we got that Black Desert, you know, that MMORPG. That looks fun. That looks real. But it's coming to the PS4 a little bit later. I can wait.
All right.
I can wait.
I'm not going to Xbox for that MMORPG. I'm already playing one, as you know, Final Fantasy 14.
Oh yeah.
Which is great. There's a lot of grind, but there is a huge amount of content.
Yeah, exactly.
We're Black Desert. I honestly don't know much about it, but that's not something that makes me like, oh man, Xbox got Black Desert. Let me go get it. Nah. Sessions was like, all right, cool. I want an skateboard game, but I want it Skate 4.
Sessions. That's what we're saying. Like,
I can't I was see
telling
it.
People, we don't want Sessions. We want Skate 4. You know, the Skate series has been good. I haven't had too many problems from the Skate series. It's an overall mm-hmm. good game. We don't want a new skateboard game to try to, you know, get in the market now. We just want Skate 4 because, for one, it's been, like, we need it. We need a new skateboard game, you know, out. We got, you know, they showed Gears 5. Gears 5 looks amazing. I was not expecting that. Gears 5 does look amazing. But that's still not a console seller for me. I'm not about to go out and buy an Xbox just to play Gears 5. And honestly, they showed a whole bunch of other exclusives, but none of the exclusives they're showing can even match up to anything that we saw on, like, in Sony's conference. Like, not even close. I go into Nintendo. I think that if we ranking them, I'm gonna say Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, and then PC. I guess I didn't really like the PC presentation so much. I didn't get to watch Bethesda. And EA's down there at the bottom tier because it was terrible. Nintendo's was nice. Nintendo's was nice, too. But we don't want... Me and you talked about this before. We don't... This Pokemon game that Nintendo's about to drop, we don't want that. We want the one that's coming next year. The one that's not catering to casual. The one that's catering to hardcore fans like us. We don't...
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the games on the Switch that are coming out, you know, Fortnite. That's cool, but it's we already got Fortnite everywhere. We knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm. It was bound to.
Yeah, we knew it. Like that, you know, the Fortnite developers are smart. They were going to definitely bring it to the Switch. We knew it was coming. We also got Smash. Everybody's hyped for Smash. I'm hyped for Smash. I don't even play Smash like that, but this Smash has me hyped, and I want to get into it. However,
let's get it.
The whole Nintendo press conference was pretty much Smash.
Yes, I mean,
everybody wants, but come on mm-hmm. now, like you taking up. You know, basically 2/3 of a presentation. We don't want that.
I mean, in the defense of Nintendo for this one, though, we do always get Nintendo Directs.
That is true.
So, even thing they didn't show in this presentation, they could easily show in another presentation. I forgot how often Nintendo Directs are, but it feels like they could easily just make up for it at another time. Because we're all pretty much going to end up watching Nintendo Direct.
I mean, no, you're completely right. I watched the other one. I remember I woke up before class to watch it. Oh, I totally forgot. I totally forgot Devil May Cry 5 is coming back. That game, that's a console seller, definitely.
There's but another game you're forgetting.
What game is that?
Resident Evil 2.
See, that's on PS4 and Xbox.
Yeah, but it's still a highlight game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but you, like, I love the Resident Evil series. Like, love them. I'm hyped mm-hmm. for. I'm hyped for this remake. I'm definitely pre-ordering everything. But yeah, I mean, why play it on Xbox when they got it on PS4? I already have a PS4.
Exactly.
But yeah, like my personal opinion, I think Sony won. Nintendo was right behind them, and Microsoft was right behind Nintendo. Like, nobody's presentation was like too spectacular and just over the top. Like you said in the beginning, like, everybody's presentation was pretty much, you know, real chill and not all that. And I can appreciate that. Because, you know, this is the biggest year gamers ever been. And I was kind of expecting a little bit more. But from what they gave us, I think it'll hold us over until next year.
Next year, E3, I expected it would be way better.
Oh, yeah.
I hope Microsoft, they don't do the same thing with one game being shown multiple times throughout E3 and each other's time looked better right. Or do what they did with Metro Exodus, which was shown by PlayStation last year.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm not sure.
I believe I definitely looked it up. Like, Metro Exodus was shown by PlayStation last year. don't show me a game that I've seen at E3 the year before from a different company.
Exactly.
Like, it's cool. I love how it looks. I'm extremely interested in it. But it's still just like, I've seen this last year.
All right. But all right, guys, we're about to switch over to our anime side of things. We'll be right back. We're back. And, you know, let's start discussing a little bit, you know, in the anime community and all that. All right, you know, Miles, me and you both been keeping up with My Hero Academia, you know, in the show. I'm a little bit behind because I've been a little busy, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And you're having a life. Yeah. Loser.
Actually, like, bro, how do you feel about this show?
I love it. I feel like some people just hate on unnecessarily due to the fact of just how popular it is. Kind of like that whole, you know how something always ends up being popular and there's always people who just hate it?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case. People are trying, like, literally nip on it. Like, I can understand if you don't like the main character, but there's so many characters, such a well-written cast that it's like, that's something you should be able to look over. And even then, that kind of just says to me that, like, all right, you just didn't really get that far because Izuku has had growth. It's been to the point that I stopped calling him Deku and started calling him actual name.
Right. Like, a lot of the hate I have seen about the show is all coming from people who I think they just don't like how popular and how fast it's gotten. So, like, you know, being at one of the top spots of, you know, animes that's being watched. The show itself, yeah, okay, it's a shonen anime. We know what we're going to get out of shonen anime. That's what we watch, exactly. Shonen anime.
But exactly.
The show itself is nice. It has a huge cast of characters, and they're all written nicely, and they're all given enough screen time to have a little bit of, like, they all have their little character arcs within, like, a 5 to 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And we don't, you know, we haven't seen that in a while. I can't really name a show off the top of my head that we've seen, you know, so much character progression in such little time coming from a cast that isn't just like 4 or 5 people deep.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen character progression from damn near everybody we've met.
Like
Class 1A has 20 people. Mm-hmm. Just disregarding, like, maybe 2 or 3, maybe, we've seen character progression for all of them. Even the teachers.
Astounding.
Even the villains. Like, I don't understand how you could hate on that. I mean, you know, if you want to be, you know, a pessimist and be like, well, the show's a shonen and it's typical, it's going to have, like, you know, dumb fighting in it, the plot's not really that good. That's not why I'm watching it right now.
Honestly,
that's not why. The plot is, I think the plot's deep.
Exactly. For a shonen, I feel like that plot is excellent.
It's decent. Now, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I do want people to die and not coming back. I don't want no Naruto ass pool, you know, none of that
reanimation
shit. I don't want that shit. I don't want half the village to die. Then, you know, they get brought back to life. I don't want that shit. If you die, you know, stay dead. But,
like,
so far, the show is amazing. I really don't have any complaints about it because when we spoke about this before, I told you, I'm like, hey, Deku's acting like a bitch. I can't say that now.
I told you.
I can't say that now. I was talking shit. I'm like, dog, I'm not gonna like the main character. He's acting like a bitch.
And I told you, give it a little bit. You're gonna start rocking with him.
All right. Well, I take that back. I still don't like Bakugo.
You a hoe.
I hate him.
He's a goat.
And I hate him. His motivation is so stupid. So stupid. And you know it's stupid.
Rush, his motivation is to be the best hero because the best hero wins.
And, like, his reason for hating Deku is stupid.
That I can agree on, but I feel like it will change sooner or later.
Like, it's so, like, first off, I'm not even 100% sure what his motivation for hating Deku really is now.
It's... is really something super small, but like I said, I genuinely feel like it will change later on. I haven't read the manga. I want to pick up on that soon, but like I do know there's been like a lot going on in the manga. Like, Deku was able to use 100% full cowling. There's, like, a lot going on in the manga. The latest episode... Honestly, the latest episode might be my favorite episode already. It could just be, you know, me being obsessed with the moment at this exact moment. But, like, My Hero episodes, they've been able to keep me hyped right after I finish doing watching it. The few anime that have been able to do that, like, especially for Shonen, were Dragon Ball, Hunter x Hunter, Seven Deadly Sins. Off that alone, bro, I'm in love with them. I'm in love with My Hero. It's currently my favorite Shonen at this moment. Especially since Dragon Ball Super stopped airing for the moment. This is holding me over.
Exactly. And, you know, I personally love the show. I don't see too many. I mean, there is flaws in the show. But it's not anything that's going to make me stop watching the show in its entirety. Exactly. Like, there's nothing close to that. I love the show. I love the cast of characters, everything that where it's going. I just hope that they can keep this same energy as more seasons come out.
Exactly. Because
I don't want season three to be its peak, and then seasons four, five, and six are like real mellow. There's nothing going on. I don't want that. I want you to be able to keep the same energy that you brought in for these first three seasons on.
Like, after this episode, I feel like there's going to be a moment where everything's kind of chill. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I can definitely see a moment coming up where it's going to be kind of chill for a little bit.
See, I'm fine with that because after what's been going on from the standpoint where I'm at, because I'm not on the same episode with you, there needs to be a time of chill. People need to relax. Like, shit's been wild for a minute.
Bro, shit's wild, wild. It's big, wild, wild. I love that anime, though.
All right. Let's go ahead and speak about Assassination Classroom because, as I stated before, I just finished the show not too long ago. And first off, I'm just gonna talk about the ending. It pissed me off. It pissed my oh my god! It made me so mad.
They hurt my boy like that.
My man Nagisa became a teacher. Get the hell
out of here! He was a teacher. He was a teacher in training.
That's what. What kind of bullshit is that? Make that man an assassin. And I was talking to some dude on Twitter about this. Like, oh, that would be a typical thing. You would have seen that
coming. I wanted to see that coming.
I said, I don't care. I don't care at this point. Don't make him no bullshit ass teacher who wants to be like Koro. No, that's stupid. Like, we don't want that. He had to make him to become a great killer.
Like, I understand the reasoning. Like, oh, he want to be just like Koro Sensei. But still, the fact that, like, Nagisa's growth, his development, the skills he showed as an assassin. Like, I wanted to see him an assassin. He just could have easily been the best assassin of all time. But it was...
just imagine, like, at the very end on that last episode, that when it's cutting to, like, all the characters or whatever, like, right after they're talking about, you know, have you been keeping up with Nagisa these days? It just cuts to, you know, all black. Mm-hmm. Nagisa standing over a dead body. He's like, you know, the mission's done. And that's all we see. The episode just ends.
Instead,
you know how that wild that would have been for us?
That would have been perfect. But instead, we got him in a group of remedial students. No offense to remedial people. We got him in a group of students who don't know how to act. They overhear coming on to him, mocking how he looks. And he has to put one of them in check. Like, it's cool he put student in check, but it's still just like, this man could have been an assassin.
And the thing is, if we're being completely honest, him becoming a teacher was predictable as hell.
Because he said he wanted to be that.
Like, it was predictable. Like, that was like, we were all like, it was like, oh, he says he wants to be a teacher, you know, like, maybe he won't be. I knew it. Y'all knew it. We all knew it. He was becoming a teacher just like Koro Sensei.
I wish it didn't happen. Fucking love Assassination Classroom. Nagisa's character, him becoming a teacher, was my only letdown. My favorite character in Assassination Classroom is Karma, though. So I'm happy with him.
Karma's amazing.
He
top tier.
Great character, tossed the hands flawlessly. And then he went on to make bank.
Facts.
Like, come on, you can't not rock with that. Nagisa, he went from being the whole little frail kid to who already had potential, to showing that he can actually toss hands with the best of them when he went against that one. I forgot the guy's position, but he went against someone who she should not logically have been able to beat. To right. then toss into hands with someone like Karma, who was fighting people well beyond his age. And then Teacher.
Like, what is that?
Come on, he's not even, like, a full-blown, full-time teacher. So he's big bro. Like, they did knock us a dirty look right there.
They really did. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it at all. Because, like, all throughout the series I'm watching, I'm like, dog, I rock with this show. It's clean. It's nice. You know? Oh, like, the little plot twist it had in it. Old girl Kaede. I'm like, yo, this is nice. It's clean.
That hurt me a little bit.
My man Nagisa calmed her down. I said, okay, cool. Maybe we have a little romance. I don't need it. But, you know, it's never, you know, it's nice to have it.
And it wasn't forced. So, you know,
it wasn't forced. So I'm thinking towards the end of the show, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, they're going to give us a little cut. Nagisa, like a professional assassin. Him and Kaede, you know, they still together, some shit mm-hmm. like that. She's just trying to cope with, you know, her man being a professional assassin while also, you know, trying to, like, I'm like, okay, this is going to be nice. They're going to give us Everybody in the classroom is gonna be doing well.
And
they give us that shit.
Everyone else was doing so well except Nagisa.
Right.
I'm happy for Professor Bitch. She deserved it. She got the person she wanted. I forgot the professor name, the one who was the whole teacher, but he was good.
Yeah, Karazza.
I love him. I love the entire class. But why my homie Nagisa?
That's what I'm saying. Why they do my man Nagisa like that?
But if I had to rate it from 1 through 10, I'm giving it a 9.5 with the 0.5 missing because of Nagisa becoming a teacher.
See, I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10 because that whole Nagisa becoming a teacher, that knocked it all the way down for me. Like, all the way down. And like it's like I was like, you can ask Malaya. I was all into the show. Hype. That shit happened. I damn near wanted to fight somebody. Like, it was nice. It was, I mean, it did have its flaws up until there. Like, the pacing was a little weird. The episode style was just a little weird, too. But it's something you got to get used mm-hmm. to. Because like, it caught me off guard at first. With, you know, Nagisa narrating over it, like, mainly the whole time. And it was like, it's weird. I still don't like it, but I got used to it. That's kind of took off a little bit. I'm gonna give it an eight out of 10.
All right, I can rock with that.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about the topic that you constantly getting Twitter fights about. People always texting you about, and that's the Dragon Ball series and the future of it. Go ahead. I'm gonna give you the reins on this.
All right. So, speaking ahead of the movie that we all know is coming. I'm more concerned about like how they'll continue Dragon Ball, because I feel like that if they push it too far, which I honestly can't see at this exact moment. I love Dragon Ball Super. Personally, I put Dragon Ball Super over Z if you do not include the Frieza arc and the Beerus arc due to the fact we already had those in movies. We didn't need a retelling. Everything else has been great. But I'm worried about the future of Dragon Ball because I don't want them to run Goku into the ground, which I honestly feel like is possible. Like, I wouldn't mind if they decided to move away from Goku, try to find like a whole new generation of characters. But I feel like if they do one mistake, that could ruin it. And that mistake, in my opinion, is keeping Goku around.
Yeah, that's fair.
And to most people, it could sound like it don't make sense. But it's still the fact that, like, keeping Goku around in it, I feel like people would demand Goku to still be the main character. Which, honestly, in my opinion, could mess up a lot of things. I don't want them to do this, either do the same thing that Boruto's doing with Naruto, where he's there, but he's not involved heavily, or kill Goku off in some way, shape, or form. Not some, he just instantly dies in a fight, now they need someone else to beat him. Because, first of all, these characters are already insanely powerful.
Exactly.
Like, on some... Kefla showed up. Kid Goku with the force of a spirit bomb that should have killed pretty much almost everybody in that tournament. he woke up, Vulture Instinct, kept the powers up, openly says she feels like she could one-shot a universe. We're too powerful right now. And that's not even close to Jiren, even half of Jiren power. That is kind of wild in Dragon Ball for power. I wouldn't mind if they decided to move away that high level of power, kill Goku off in a way that's like him and Vegeta either fight to the death and they both die. Because honestly, I would love that. Vegeta and Goku's rivalry has went from enemies to, like I said, rivals to being pretty much friends. The ending of Dragon Ball Super with Goku and Vegeta using the same form. Goku, Vegeta telling Goku to use Ultra Instinct and Goku saying he can't use it. I like that. Lower Goku a little bit, but I feel like if they're not careful, they could run that into the ground. So,
yeah,
let's move away from Goku for a little bit. Bring in some new characters. Some new threats. Lower the ceiling of power.
Please, please. That's what I wanted to speak on. Because I feel like where the Dragon Ball series is going, you know, I didn't watch Super. I watched maybe 5 episodes in total. Mm-hmm. You and the timeline kept me updated of everything that was going on. I feel like I watched all the episodes because I damn near know everything that was going on. But I feel like the problem is, and you can almost say this was a Bleach's problem too, in a way, the power level is through the roof now. So it's through the roof and it's been a little inconsistent. So when you bring in a new character, say, you know, they have a whole new season, they bring in a new mm-hmm. character, right? This new character just comes out of nowhere and it's supposed to be stronger than, you know, Goku in his ultimate form. Mm-hmm. You know, where was this character at, you know, the entire time? Like, you know, was he training? Was, you know, what were they doing? So they bring it in and, you know, he's stronger than Goku in his strongest form. So now Goku has to train up to become stronger than him. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the power scaling, it's weird right now because the shit that they're doing, it's past Planet Buster. It's way past that. It's been past that since damn near the Dragon Ball series almost.
Yeah, it's been like, beyond planet busting for well long. It's
been planet busted. And it's just it's just a little discouraging to I know the viewers and shit that when you're watching, you know, some of your favorite characters fight or whatever, and you see an attack that last season would have took out a whole planet. And some dude just comes up out of nowhere and it doesn't phase him at all. Like, that's just a little weird. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, he just, you know, he eats it. It's nothing to him. That's a little discouraging. Like, oh, I'm stronger than you. You know, I've been training, you know, my whole life. All this other shit. Like, okay, we get it. What I personally think they need to do is they need to go ahead, move away from, like you were saying, move away from Goku. Not on some Boruto stuff. But I feel like they can almost bring Goku in. You know, and start the little earthly tournaments like they were doing before, mm-hmm. where not everybody has some wild, crazy ass, you know, power. Not everybody's planet busting. And that way we can move, that way you can still move on with the story. We can still move on with the story because now we got a whole new generation of, you know, of Saiyans or Namekians or whoever, and they're still strong, but they're not planet busting. So when, you know, a threat comes that needs to be, you know, like, yo, this dude's been taking over. We got somebody to handle that, like Goku, like Vegeta, like Piccolo. Mm-hmm. We got people to handle that. But if they just keep going with it, I think they're going to I think Dragon Ball is really going to, like, it's going to die. But not because of the fans, though, because the Dragon Ball fan base is one of the most loyal fan bases in the anime community. Like, no matter what bullshit y'all go through, y'all will stand behind the show.
Well, honestly, currently, in my opinion, the trash we're going through right now is pretty much a divide in the Dragon Ball fan base. There's half the fan base that loves Super, and the other half that absolutely hates it.
Exactly. I don't see how they could hate Super when Super is literally, like, to me, somebody looking on the outside in, Super is literally like a better version of Z.
Like I said, me personally, I prefer Super over Z, but I've seen like a lot of small complaints with Super. I can't say small. I've seen a lot of complaints with Super that, in my opinion, make the least amount of sense possible. Like you said, a character shows up stronger than Goku, and you're like, all right, where has this character been? a lot of people would say GT was better than Super, as if that's not even more the case for GT. Example, there's a character, Legend, supposed to be stronger than Majin Buu. Where was he? Because Majin Buu showed up, he was literally destroying planets, galaxies. He's a galaxy buster. No one contacted Legend.
That's what I'm saying.
For Super, on the other hand, is different because these characters are in full-blown other universes. Like, there was this article on Screen Rant, they were complaining about how strong Hit was. And they're saying, like, all right, where was Hit when Majin Buu was going on? But then it's like, Hit's in another universe. So he don't know what's going on. That universe, they don't have, even though they're the twin universe, they didn't have the events of Majin Buu. So even though he's there, he's that much stronger, what can he do?
I mean, I see exactly what you're saying. You know, like I said, the Dragon Ball series just needs to calm down for a second, fix the power scaling, and I feel like if they fix the power scaling, tone it down a little bit. Then even if they don't want to bring in a new generation, of totally new people, like, you know, just do something else, because the tournament arcs, they're getting a little annoying.
It's been a while since we had a tournament. I feel like they need to bring in different people because the only thing that they can do is get stronger. Yeah, that's Goku's true. In the strongest form is stronger than all the God of Destructions. Already been confirmed. Off that alone, we kind of need to chill. Because these dudes they're not even allowed to fight each other. That's how strong they are. Beerus showed up holding back against Goku. Punches were strong enough to destroy a universe. He's too strong. And Goku's stronger than that. Jiren's stronger than that.
Yeah, like,
Vegeta is in that tier of power. We are wilding.
I really do think if they just tone down the power scaling, you know, and introduce some new characters, whoever they be, I don't know if they want to, like, you know, have a little time skipping, you know, Gohan has kids, Goten has kids, Gotenks has, I don't know what they're going to do. But if they bring in new characters and actually make a power ceiling, and when they make a power ceiling, nobody really is above that power ceiling except for the people who've been fighting, who've been there. Because that's what I really appreciate with, I'm not trying to go back to My Hero Academia, but My Hero Academia has a power ceiling. Like, you know what the power ceiling is.
Yep, it's All Might and all in one for all. I mean, exactly. All for one. Sorry, I get that. I constantly mess up that name.
I do the same thing. Like, those are the power ceilings. We don't know how strong they are, but we know they're the strongest. So everybody is pushing to become, like, you know, to become stronger than them. So they're putting in a lot of work and they're doing a whole bunch of stuff. Granted, this is early on in the show. It's not as long as, you know, Dragon Ball has been going on, so it hasn't had the time to establish, like, a brand new character that's just coming out of nowhere or whatever. But I still think that My Hero Academia has a good, you know, example of power scaling. Dragon Ball used to have a good example of power scaling, so I felt like, you know, the creator wrote himself into a hole. He had to pull something out of his ass real quick, and he's just been still relying on that ever since then.
I mean, in that defense, he has actually admitted before that he was kind of just going along with the story as he went on.
I mean, like I said, that's completely true. But I mean, you know, like, I don't watch Dragon Ball anymore.
Like,
that's all you. That's all you.
I do feel like these characters are insanely powerful. Like, you have one character who became the universe. That's how strong he was. There is technically a power ceiling, but we don't know just how high it is. Because there's a character, Grand Priest. He's the strongest fighter in Dragon Ball. Already confirmed. Someone stronger than him, Zeno. He doesn't fight them. Zeno's so strong that he could easily just destroy all the universes. It's supposed to be 12 universes right now. Destroy them all with just him squeezing his hand. He's that powerful. But it's still just like, alright, these are ceilings that pretty much are not supposed to be reached. I don't want them to get to that point. If we go outside of the canon story, they are kind of already beyond that point. But inside the canon series, I don't want to get that high up in power. I want them to leave Goku. Personally, I would prefer if they put Goku and Vegeta at the same level of power and they just continue to fight each other because they enjoy fighting. That's saying if they're a warrior race. I want them to get to just fight each other, either to just fight to the death or just age and die like that. Like, get a time skip and they pass out. And they just pass like that. If you want to go into the whole lowering power skill and have one character supremely stronger, logically, I can feel like Gohan, due to the fact he's been stated to have more potential than pretty much everybody else, well, all the other Saiyans, due to the fact that he's a half-Saiyan, half-Saiyans have so much more potential. But even then, I don't want him to reach that high. So I would say just do a time skip. Have, like, a descendant of Goku and Vegeta be, like, the main character. So they can keep the Saiyans going. Like, have more Saiyans involved. Try to pretty much, I feel like there's a lot of things they could do, but it's all about will they actually do it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you everybody for listening, or whatever, and we'll be back again soon to discuss more anime and games.